You are listening to the Critical Mass Radio Show, Orange County's business talk show, focused on exploring topics of interest to CEOs who are leading middle market companies, with your host, Richard Franzi.
Welcome to Orange County's longest running business talk show. And yes, I am your host, Rick Franzi. And boy, do we have a good show planned for you today. Why do you ask? Because our guest is Perrin Holtrup, and he is the founder and CEO of Pay Nation. Perrin, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me. This is awesome. This is amazing stuff you got going here.
Thank you. Let's get right into it because I love to have entrepreneurs on the show and I get bonus points for having founders and entrepreneurs on the show. So let's go back in time, Perrin, and talk to us about your original motivation and the inspiration that you had to start Pay Nation.
Well, I was in the payments industry for several years prior to starting my own, and then COVID hit, and it was really, a lot of people had bad times during that time, but it was actually a really good time for us because in the digital payment space, nobody wanted to touch cash or check. Everything kind of got digitized, and it was a perfect time and opportunity for us to start our own company. And, you know, we haven't looked back ever since. It was a really, really good time for us for business as it pertains to digital payments.
Had you thought about doing this before that, or was this like an aha moment? What happened?
You know, I kind of did. You know, at the time when I was in the payments industry, I was doing really well. We work on the residual. We build a book of business, similar to like insurance guys. And I had a good life and was really comfortable. And then there was an aha moment when it came to, you know, integrations. I noticed that a lot of companies were integrating into software and all kinds of, you know, different software opportunities where payments were embedded into that. And I realized that that was, you know, kind of something that we wanted to get into. And, starting our own company was kind of the impetus of us getting into the integration world. So it was kind of a combination of that as well as, you know, the pandemic all kind of happened all at one time. But, you know, we had ideas to doing it before. It's just we needed that nudge, and COVID kind of was that nudge.
Yeah, that's not uncommon from what I've heard. There's like an enabling event. Something happens, an external event like that. Or sometimes entrepreneurs have been on the show and they've lost their job and they're like, well, maybe I'll bet on myself kind of a thing. So there's no one way to become a founder of a company. There's, you know, it's all, everybody has their own path to being a founder and an entrepreneur. I'm wondering, we talked about aha moments for a minute, but I'm wondering in the early days, did you have any pivots to the business model, any changes to the philosophy or approach when you got started?
I would say, yeah. I think that when I first got in the payments industry, like most of us, we get into retail hospitality and we kind of go after the low-hanging fruit. You know, I was around B2B and manufacturing distribution a long time in other previous businesses. So, you know, I pivoted really early in my payments career in focusing on B2B, and that's kind of been our model. That's kind of our mantra. That's kind of the specialty that we are, is focusing on B2B companies. So I would say the pivot happened, you know, really early in my payments career, knowing that that was where my expertise lied. And my network and the people that I was doing business with from previous businesses was in that space. So it just made sense to kind of pivot there.
So let's talk about your firm. Maybe you can help us to, you know, you talked about the B2B. So, you know, who are you helping? What are the problems that you're solving? And what makes Pay Nation different in the space?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's a question we get quite frequently. So we're a payment technology company that really focuses on lower middle market companies in the B2B space. B2B, we define it as a business that's selling a goods or service to another business. Specifically in manufacturers, distributor, wholesale, companies that are maybe outdated, they're QuickBooks, they're in entering into a new realm where they're using some type of ERP or some new type of software solution, and they're looking for the ability to take payment or make payments to their suppliers or from their customers in a kind of an integrated scenario. So they're not double, triple entering, logging into two or three different platforms. We kind of come in and kind of consolidate that approach and just really just try to make things less frictionless, if you will, more secure, and just kind of you know, help with not just obviously the fees and the payments piece, but just kind of help mitigating some of the extra work or task or data entry for the office staff or the accounts receivable department.
I'm not overly familiar with your space. I have had guests over the years in maybe similar areas. One of the sense that I have about the space is it can be price sensitive, that people do want to know how much the transaction costs, et cetera. How do you, with Pay Nation, handle that or address it? Or what are you talking to your clients about that is more important than that aspect?
Yeah, so, you know, price is always a conversation. We're really more solution-based. We're really coming in with the white glove treatment. You know, we're not really a firm that's going to sell price first. You know, if we have clients that are really more interested in price, typically we're not the right fit because we're bringing a lot of other things to the table. You know, our industry is very kind of pigeonholed a lot of times with a lot of bad actors out there that are really peddling price. Whether the, you know, we all know you kind of get what you pay for. A lot of times with us, the clients that we're going after really need our help. You know, they're growing. They need some other partners. Maybe they need an ERP solution or a new software. They may need a good CFO or, you know, a myriad of different people or disciplines to bring into their business. And we kind of facilitate a lot of that. Obviously, a lot of the things we're handling is all things payments. Accounts payable, accounts receivable, and all the software around it and automating it. But you know, there's a lot of things out there. You got clients that are still taking payment over the phone, writing stuff on a piece of paper. You got still people taking checks. There's a lot of antiquated behavior, if you will, that we are really trying to solve for. And a lot of times when we bring that to the attention to the decision maker and really explaining or kind of showing them what's available out there, they're like, oh, okay, they see. And sometimes, you know, price is still, on top of mind, but it's usually secondary or tertiary to the conversation. We just don't lead in with price because we have a lot more to offer than just the better price. And we don't want to be a race to the bottom and just give somebody a good price just for the sake of it. We want to make sure we're providing a great service for that client.
Well, there was a book years ago written called Blue Ocean Strategy, which is finding margin in industries. And it feels like to me that's kind of part of what you've done, looking at B2B lower middle market companies.
100%. It's a great book. I reference that book quite often, and it's really the case. You know, I think that you know, the B2B conversation in our space is becoming more and more popular. It's kind of a gold rush, if you will. So, you know, who knows if it's going to continue to be blue ocean, but, you know, I'm going to take advantage of it while it is, for sure.
Yeah. So talk to me a little bit about security because, you know, again, you're so much people are being at middle market companies, lower middle market companies are such an area ripe for security and cyber attacks. And How does Pay Nation talk to your clients about that aspect?
Yeah, security is a big, big problem. You can imagine that it runs rampant in anything that has to do with financial sector. It's really just at the lowest scale, just don't do things that you know are not smart. You know, for instance, I mentioned a moment ago, writing credit card numbers on a piece of paper. You know, if you got a client that wants to pay you and you're taking a credit card number over the phone or you're, you know, believe it or not, sending your card number through an email, don't do that kind of stuff. There's people that do this kind of silliness. You know, and so, you know, there's a lot of solutions and tools on a very lower scale that will allow clients to enter in their information where it's encrypted and tokenized. And ultimately, you know, alleviating any potential, you know, fraud. But that's on a lower level. On a higher level, you know, if you're logging into a platform where you're putting in sensitive data, you can use MFA, multi-factor authentication, you know, make sure you're using passphrases and not password 123, you know, things like that. So, you know, these are the things that we talk about. You know, we obviously, we kind of lean to our IT, our professionals and other partners that we work with that are more experts in that space. But, you know, we definitely talk about it and discuss it. But everything we do has to do with the PCI compliance. It's a very important thing. It's a very, very, very a conversational topic that we talk about all the time with our clients. Just make sure you're doing not the silliest. Like I said, believe it or not, writing credit cards on a phone, on a piece of paper, or on an invoice or whatever happens all the time. And we tell clients, stop doing that. You don't have to do that anymore.
Wow. Yeah. I totally a tangent, but years and years ago, I was a frequent flyer, or maybe it was a hotel, but the account number that they gave me was my social security number. I mean, this is so long ago, but
yeah.
It's absurd.
Yeah, you know, what's that movie, Catch 'Em While They Can, or that movie, whatever that movie's called? You know,
yeah.
Probably made that movie about you, you know? You definitely don't want your information, checks, you know, there's just so much fraud going on. And let's be honest, the better the technology gets out there, the more fraud there's going to be. It's kind of a natural order of things.
Right.
Sometimes we just have to be a little bit smarter than the guys doing the crimes. Sometimes they're smarter than us, but we just can't get lazy. You know, that's really what it comes down to. People get very lazy, get complacent. Like, oh, it's been fine. I've been doing it this way for 10 years. I've been doing it like that. Never had a problem. It's never a problem till it is, right? So just make sure you do the right stuff so it doesn't ever have to be a problem, because you're kind of doing the preventive maintenance.
Yeah, when I talk to CEOs of lower middle market companies, a lot of times they say, well, you know, I'm not Target. I'm not the one they're going to go after. I'm like, no, you're exactly the people they're going to go after, because you don't have the infrastructure that a Target. I really like when you talk with your lower middle market SMB clients, B2B, about an integrated approach. And I think that is really important, not to be just an area of automation that does one thing, but to really connect with the other ERP and back office and QuickBooks. That makes for a much more seamless and scalable architecture, I would think.
Absolutely. And it's what it's typically which the direction that we try to go in. Not always is it possible. Sometimes the other software companies that, you know, a particular client is working with doesn't play well with others. Excuse me. But sometimes, that's our first goal, is to try to integrate, try to alleviate as many double, triple entries, right? The more triple, quadruple entries, there's more, you know, area for potential, you know, failure or, you know, just mistakes, you know, whatever. So we try to automate as much as possible. Again, sometimes it's not, you know, not the case. But, you know, the days of, a credit card terminal on the counter, those days are kind of over, unless you're in the B2B or in the retail space, which obviously still, you know, point of sale system and so forth. But really in the B2B space, majority of the transactions are what we call card not present. You know, it's usually attached to an invoice or e-commerce. You know, the person's not physically there. The card's not physically there. So, you know, having more of an integration environment definitely mitigates, you know, any type of fraud or security issues there. And it's more seamless. And at the end of the day, it's overwhelmingly less work or paperwork because everything is automated. So that's typically the direction we try to go. Not always possible, but we make sure it becomes a priority if we can do it.
Yeah, that's really valuable too, Perrin, because like it or not, people have been conditioned by Amazon to what the purchasing experience should be, regardless of what area of their life they're in. And, you know, they're expecting a seamless transaction with their vendors. And so having B2B transactions that are, to your term, frictionless as possible is sort of the client's expectation anymore.
Absolutely. And then you look at it on the other thing, on the receivable sides, when you have, you know, your DSO or day sales outstanding, you know, people always have an issue with getting paid quicker. You know, you got services going out, the product going out. Everyone does a good job of getting the product or service out there. But sometimes companies do a poor job of collecting on those funds, right? So the goal is really just to have as much capability for that person to pay, right? Whether it's a link, some kind of pay now button on your page, you know, QR code, you know, you want to give as many possibilities for that client to pay you, or that supplier to pay you, or buyer to pay you. as possible. If you just say, hey, you know, we'll send you an invoice in the mail or get to it when you get to it, you know, those, you don't want to do that. You know, you're offering a product or service, you want to get paid, but if you're not providing the ability for someone to pay you, it's kind of your own fault. So those are some of the things that we try to do to really make it easy for their clients to pay them as quickly as possible.
Yeah, the velocity of cash conversion into your business is really an area where SMBs and lower middle market B2B companies can really improve their financial performance by converting that order into cash as soon and quickly and easily as possible at a reasonable cost.
Absolutely. So that conversation that you just mentioned there is a part of what we talk about, which again is not really based on price so much of, hey, what are your costs? Hey, let's talk about if we can get you paid quicker. If you got people that are paying you, you know, net 30, net 45, net 60, net never, right? let's find a way to get you paid quicker. So is it really an issue of what our services are costing if we can get you paid quicker? So, you know, those conversations are part of our pitch, if you will. It's just really educating. And that's why we really like working in the lower middle market companies, because they're the companies that are really open to these conversations and suggestions. They don't think they have all the answers. And, you know, we like to come in there as a partner and help them with these things and make it a better environment for them and for their clients.
Yeah, thank you for that. I've enjoyed this conversation. I'd like to turn our attention maybe to a piece of business advice that you were given that you could pay it forward and share it with our audience.
You know, I had a small business years ago, and I had a kind of a mentor, I guess, and I was young at the time at a different company, and a guy told me, he said, he was an older gentleman, and he said to me, you don't want all the business, you want just the good one, the good business. And, you know, for a long time, I didn't really understand what that meant. But, you know, what I've carried that over the years is, you know, you can't please everybody. You know, no matter what, we may not have a solution for everybody. You know, everybody's situation is different. Everyone has a different pain point. We can do our best to try to help that client case by case. But if it doesn't work out, it's okay. You know, we'll catch them on the next time. And I've had clients, potential prospects, that wanted to work with us, and we'd start digging in, come to find out we didn't have the right solution or we weren't the right fit. Maybe that decision maker or CFO went to another business or another company and they brought us in and we were able to help. So, you know, it's okay if you can't win every business or every deal for whatever the reasons are. You just want the good business. And that's what we really try to focus on, really doing good business with good clients.
Yeah, that is a great piece of business advice. And I can see that it's something that you get to appreciate with time and experience as well, because when you're, you know, maybe in a younger version, you like everything's good business because it's business.
Right. You know, when you're younger, you don't want to turn out any business, right? You're like, yeah, I want all of it. But, you know, it's not realistic. It really is not. And sometimes you don't want all of it because some of it's not good business.
Yeah. And it costs you money to take it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, wish at the end. Yeah, there's no point in being unhappy in your relationships with your clients. And if you can't solve their problems, you shouldn't take their business. I made a long time in sales, and I thought of myself as a problem solver. And if I really couldn't solve the customer's problem, then I shouldn't convince them that I can, because they're going to figure out that I can't. So better to walk away early than make a mess.
Right, and, you know, and that's really just, it's always about the consultative approach to your point.
Right.
We don't want to be commission breath salesmen out there just pushing our service or peddling our product just because we want to sell. That's not how we do business. And really in the B2B sector, that's really what it's more consultative. We're not one call closing. We're not here to just sell you whatever. We're here to be a partner and help, you know, and we can't help. Maybe we bring in somebody else that can. And it's okay if we bring somebody else, maybe even a competitor that may have a better solution. That's good business, and that's what we try to do with our clients.
That's excellent. Let's talk about technology. We've been kind of around it, and the technology I want to focus on with you, Perrin, is artificial intelligence. What is your view of AI, and how do you see it impacting your industry, and what's Pay Nation's vision for AI in your business model?
You know, I've probably gotten this question about 10 times in the last 2 weeks. It seems to be a hot topic. Okay. You know, I think AI is a really good, for our industry, it'd be really good because, and it is already, is really just on the underwriting aspect and risk when we're bringing on clients. And, you know, there's an underwriting process when we bring on an account. We have AI that can kind of really help with deciphering the business and whether it, you know, the risk tolerance there. I think on the payable side, when we're talking about companies and how they pay, you know, AI can help us let us know which clients are typically how they're getting paid and say, hey, look, your average client's getting paid. Your average client's paying you maybe 45 days or 30 days. Let's lower that down to 15. You know, rather than using Excel spreadsheets and stuff, I think AI can really dig in and give us those answers a lot quicker. You know, and then just, you know, I think on data and analytics, right? You know, when we're talking about, you know, sales numbers and transactions and, you know, dollars and cents and those kinds of things. You know, we work a lot with, you know, CFOs and controllers, you know, they always want numbers. So if we're able to, you know, help with getting some of those quicker numbers for them to make better decisions on what other products that we can, or solutions we can bring to the table, we can rely on some of those quicker numbers rather than, you know, crunching it. So I think, really in the risk side, I think probably where AI will really help us. I don't really see any negatives yet, although I'm sure there will be. There's always pros and cons. I just haven't been able to see any at the moment.
That's exciting. Yeah. I started asking this question about a year ago, Perrin, when ChatGPT hit the zeitgeist and everybody was talking AI. I was curious how my guests on Critical Mass Business Talk Show were seeing AI, and it's been a fascinating conversation with each of them. Thanks for sharing your perspective. Last formal question. Let's talk about the future. You're going to be back on the show at some point in the future. Where are you taking Pay Nation? What's going to be different in your vision for the future?
I think we're really more focused on really the AR AP automation piece, really getting more into automation, really focusing more on accounts payable. We have some platforms that we're working on for clients to be able to pay their suppliers in an automated way. Really trying to get clients to understand the disadvantage of paying with check or any other, you know, payment modality. So I think you're going to see us really delve in more on not just an AR company, more on the AP and AR and automation, more integrations, doing more of what we're doing now, and just really digging into some of the technologies out there and platforms that are out there, maybe partnering with some companies, maybe building our own thing, but really trying to make an all-around company that's really focused on technology to mitigate security, as we talked about earlier, and just making people's life a little easier. It's the world of payments is growing. I mean, it's, you know, the B2B industry is $100 trillion industry in terms of payments all around, not just credit card, of all types of payments. And so, you know, it's going to be a little bit hectic out there. We want to make sure that clients have the necessary tools to kind of wade those waters a little bit easier with our help.
Yeah, that's so important because it really helps the company scale. You know, you're lower middle market today, but if you've got the systems and the ability to scale your business without putting so much expense into it, you can become then a middle market company, not a lower middle market company. And it really is an important area in their business. So if someone
I was going to add, didn't mean to interrupt you. You know, that's the really good point that you're making. There's a lot of these companies, every company is looking to get to the next level, right? So if you're a middle market company or low middle market, what are you trying to do to get to the middle market? Or some of these companies want to get to the enterprise level. And so when you're talking to these companies and you can say, hey, look, you can, you know, deploy some of these technologies that some of your bigger your competitors are using, you can do it on a smaller scale and kind of a crawl, walk, run type of situation. So, you know, it makes sense. If you're trying to grow, why not use the tools that your competitors have used to grow? So to your point, I would totally agree with that.
So if someone would like to connect with you on LinkedIn or learn more about Pay Nation, where do you say they go online?
You could go to our website, paynation.us. We have a lot of information there. Our LinkedIn is paynation.us is our LinkedIn page as well. Got a lot of activity there. We're always posting new newsletters and different blogs and stuff, a lot more on this information. So go there and connect, subscribe. We got a lot of good content that's out there. And anywhere on any social media, paynation.us, we got the same handle everywhere.
What is your market address, geographically speaking? Where are your clients?
We're nationwide company in a sense that we work anywhere. I mean, we're obviously out of Southern California, but we can work anywhere in the nation and in Canada, hence the name Pay Nation. You know, we have an agent channel, and we have people that work all over the country, in Texas, New York, Connecticut, Indiana, all over the place. So, you know, we're not just, you know, regulated to just California. I mean, if you have multi-location, any state, we can definitely help.
Baron, I have enjoyed the time we've spent together. Thank you for being our guest today.
Hey, this was amazing. Thanks, Rick, for having me. This has been an absolute honor and a pleasure, and I look forward to coming back and maybe having some updates for you.
I would look forward to that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. And the listening audience, you've been a part of Orange County's longest running business talk show. Perrin's show now becomes a part of our catalog that's approaching 1,500 episodes here in the not too distant future. And if you're an Orange County entrepreneur or a nonprofit executive director, and you would like to share your story with our audience, then reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm Rick, which is R-I-C. Franzi, F-R-A-N-Z-I. Coincidentally, that's also our company's website, rickfranzi.com. And Haley, our producer, and I will be happy to talk to you about being a guest on a future episode. We'd love to have you share your story here. Until we have a chance to be together again, I hope all of your business decisions will move your company in a positive direction.